Oh, Ecclesiastes, chapter 10. 1 year we'll finish this.
Gosh, what are we going to do when we finish this?
I think we're going to do Romans.
Who?
Romans. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. But whenever it talks, and you'll see this several times during the next few, until the end of Ecclesiastes, it talks about this breaking the hedge. And it normally means, or it's always meaning the hedge that God has given us to protect us, the bounds of our habitation. And the other side of the hedge is always the serpent. And so, and again, the serpent had no power until Eve opened the hedge. You have, and the evil one has no power over you until you break the hedge. And the hedge, and this is hard to understand, but the day of God, the day of the Lord, has always been the same day, and it's the day of eternity. And the hedge is this time and space. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the flanks. The flanks of Mount Zion are the constraints of time. And man, and the evil one has no power over you, obviously, and never has from the beginning, if you were on the mercy seat. And Adam and Eve were on the mercy seat because there was no self-consciousness, so there was no awareness that any moment in time was different, should be different than it was. As you know, they were to transform that innocence into holiness by the antagonism. Now, the same phenomena is happening now in us. Once you can see that it's finished, that you don't leave the, and you stay in the eternal now, and that whatever is happening to you is by the hand of God, and that there is nothing that can, nothing has anything to do with you, then the serpent has no power. But when you, when you break the hedge by going up to the mountain, by leaning on your own understanding, by cause and effect, by if only, all of the other things that we've talked about for years, then it's a sure bet that the serpent is going to bite you. Does this communicate?
And that bite is not, is this thing kicking your ass?
Well, it's always, remember, it's the serpent. It's the instead of Christ. It's Jacob.
Yeah. The bite, what is the bite? You say the serpent's going to bite you, but...
Well, we'll just hold that one in abeyance for a minute. Yeah. Don't get too literalist here. Now, so anyway, hear this. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. And again, forget trying to get, you got to hear this as a metaphor. It's a parable of a mystery. So, and there are a jillion things that the bite means, but for right now, can you just accept what I'm saying, or can you understand it? Anybody not understand it? Whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him, or the serpent shall bite him. I think I'm talking to the ceiling because I have a look of partial understanding, but...
Well, that bite, getting bit in the ass, is a very common figure of speech. I mean, everybody understands it.
Well, remember the when we talked about what the pangs of conscience, the bite of consciousness in that German word. It's so whenever you break the hedge, whenever you leave the eternal now, then the serpent's going to bite you. It's a sure bet.
He who takes the bread unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of Christ. I don't know what that means, but I really don't need to know what it means. It's being bitten by a serpent. I don't need to know what that means. I know what it means. I know I don't want it.
Right. Okay, so the only way from, as this mystery of sanctification proceeds, the only way that you avoid being bitten by the serpent is that you never leave the eternal now. You take no thought for your life. You take no thought for tomorrow. You take no thought for the clothes you're going to wear. You take no thought for what you're going to do. You take no thought for your own life. Anything else is breaking the hedge. Now, any need that you have, any kind of morbid need that you have to elevate yourself in any given moment, that's breaking the hedge.
That's a morbid need.
It's an idiotic need. And any going back in time to if onlys, that's breaking the hedge. Any time that there is somebody or something that you can't forgive, that's breaking the hedge. It's a guarantee that the serpent will bite you. Because, you remember go to Psalm 48. Again, I want to relate these two. I turned right to it. How's your husband? Good. Gary, this is for you. He's leaving. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. It means beautiful in any kind of situation that you can possibly be in. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides or the flanks of the north, or the flanks of the mystery, or the sides or the boundaries of the mystery, the city of the great king. That is the New Jerusalem. It's always been there. It's always going to be there. It's never left there. Except now for us, because of the finished work of Christ, that brought down the New Jerusalem to us. That's what John saw in the book of Revelation. He saw the New Jerusalem descending. It didn't go back up. There's no reference to it ever going back up. So you have the capacity now to always live in this eternal now. You never have to leave it. And any time you leave it, you're breaking the hedge. In the same way that Eve did when she... Is this anybody? Everybody understand? Part of the problem here is that we are so used to living in linear time, and it's our entire base of reference that we can't, you know, it's hard to even, when you hear stuff like this, it's hard to even come to any comprehension of what it means, because it's like, you know, there's no base of reference for it. The gift of God is eternal life. That means, it doesn't mean a long, long time. It means this eternal now, this point, this vanishing point, this place of no need for you to ever again give breath to time. That's why it says, redeem the time, for the days are evil. But you got to live. You got to go through your life today, don't you? So you got this to do, and you got this to do, and you got all these little things, and then even if when you don't have to, you automatically do it. Because then if you say, if I did this, then this would happen, and blah, 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 blah. So Jesus' solution to that was, give no thought. Take no thought. And I didn't make this up. He said it. These are the red words. Take no thought for what you're going to eat. Take no thought for what you're going to wear. Take no thought for your life. For sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Therefore, redeem the time, for the days are evil, or of the evil one. So the only place that you're protected by the hedge of God is when you're in that place of God. I don't have any other ways to describe it. Now, what has life been up till now then? Life has been finding out that everything in time is empty and fruitless and chasing wind. No matter what you did, you failed. Even when you succeeded, it wasn't like you thought it was. No matter what thoughts you had, no matter what great ideas, no matter how many vows, how many oaths, how many doing it betters, never going again, blah, blah, whatever, you did it. And now God's saying, it's time for you to stop breaking the hedge. It's time for you to have the serpent stop biting you. It's a simple thing. It's called repentance. It's called leaving you behind. Any part of your life that's connected with you, i.e. you are yours, you say, it's Father, forgive me. You leave it behind. How do you do that? The only way you can do that is to be sick unto death of being consumed with self. You have to be sick of being addicted to you. You have to be sick of the wine of Ephraim, being drunk in the wine of self-seeking. You have to be sick of all of that. I mean, that's why. I mean, and again, it seems like I'm telling you, I understand this. I understand how this, what I've said this morning seems like going to Mars or going to the moon or doing something other than what is humanly possible. It was the same for me. When I had the experience in 1972 and I saw the illusion of time and the mystery of God and the eternal life was now, and that forever wasn't a long, long time, it was always the now. I mean, I must have repented 100,000 times a day. How do you do this? I already knew that my mind was a liar. But it kept trying to trap me into this and that and this and that. You know, doing something. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. I want you to give me another explanation for what I'm talking about, if you can, from the words of Christ. This is all I've ever taught for 35 years.
I was thinking, and what comes through the hedge is of God.
It comes through the hedge to cause you to come to the end of it again, so you won't go through the edge the next time.
That's the point where you just meet need as it's presented.
Yeah. You don't have any thought. You don't have any, you never possibly think. It's you just live. You just be instead of trying to be. And that's the main difference. Aren't you tired of playing this stupid game of trying to be something? Just stop it. Well, let's look at... Wait. Okay, here's one.
You don't have to do.
Doing isn't your business. Being is your business. Actually, being, it's your, what does it mean? You've heard it all, it's throughout the scriptures. You know, you are crucified with Christ. You're buried in baptism. You have not, whatsoever is gained to me is lost to Christ. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Well, that's all true, but what does that mean? It means I'm going to go try to do my best, and now I'm going to... No. It means believe on Him who He has sent, and never stop. Never, 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 never. It's not, well, I'll believe on Him who He has sent when I'm praying, or I'll believe on Him who He has sent when I go to church, or when I go to Bible study, or when I'm in trouble. No, because... You don't know when you're in trouble or not. You just finally come to this understanding that all you do is walk in the sparks that you have kindled. And that's why you lie down in sorrow. So why do that anymore? You try every other solution there is. Don't you? And you still lie down in sorrow, or you still lie down in confusion. Why? You still have this free-floating anxiety. You're still waiting for the next shoe to drop. You're still, in Harry's words, large print giveth, the small print taketh away. Why? Remember the manna from heaven? He is the manna. That's what we eat. He alone is our sustenance. The manna fulfills every desire of the heart. Unless there's guilt or idolatry. And you already know the stupidity of guilt, and you already know you wouldn't be here, you wouldn't have stayed this long, the end of your little idols, your little ideas of the way things should be. They're goofy. You've testified of it. You testified of it on the Feast of Tabernacles. That's why repentance is continuous. It's not, you hear me say these little words like truth is truth is a sustained consciousness of error. Well, that sounds morbid. No, it's not. Not if you know the city, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Not if you know that you're seated with Him in that mystery right now. You're not waiting for something else to happen. No man can serve two masters, in verse 24, Matthew 6. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Well, we define, what is mammon? You can't serve God and mammon. Well, mammon is anything, it just means anything that you for that moment have confidence in. And most of that moment that you have confidence in is your illusion of having some kind of brain. Right? You can't serve God and mammon. Love the Lord. Serve and love are the same. I can't love the Lord with all my heart and all my soul and all my might if I have an agenda, if I have a plan, if I'm thinking about something I'm going to do. I can't do it.
Trusting in cause and effect.
You're right. Right. Or this time I'm going to hold my mouth different and I'll get different results. Or I'm not going to eat vomit anymore. You're still eating vomit of your great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. They knew it was stupid and empty, and they ate it anyway, and you're still eating it because that's what you've been taught to eat. Therefore, most of the people are starving to death. Because they're eating something where the nourishment of it has already been taken out. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Now, again, you can say, okay, I'm not going to take any thought for what I'm going to eat, or what I'm going to drink, or what I'm going to wear, but I got to take thought for this next thing over here, because it didn't mention that there. I got to take thought for that. No, there's a principle of biblical exegesis that says these are the basic things that are necessary for life. If you don't take that thought for those, you can't take thought for anything. Why does it seem like I'm talking to the ceiling this morning? I'm going to ignore the ceiling. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than food or meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not better than they? And which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, if you read some of these modern translations, when it says take no thought, it's don't be worried about it. Don't be anxious. It doesn't say that. It says take no thought. Well, how do you do that? When you're hardwired to take thought, only one way, that you see that you died on that cross 2,000 years ago. The human race died, and you are an invented creature. You have invented yourself. You've taken little pieces from here and pieces from there, and you've created a being that is a usurper on the land. You are the temple of the living God, and this being, the instead of Christ, has been controlling you your entire life. Now he has to go. You can't continue in this phony name. You're an accident of an accident of an accident after the flesh. And then you've slowly molded yourself to be who you think you are, and you've little, and it's, and you all know it's a lie. But you still try, you're still affected by it. And then when you're affected by something that causes you to get angry or upset or furious or whatever, then you think, oh, they did something to me. No, it's the Holy Spirit revealing your stupidity. Take no thought. Because by taking thought, you do the same as Eve. You break a hole in the hedge. And that hedge is impenetrable from any other person and any other thing and any other place except internally. Internally, it's real easy for you to break the hedge. And that's all you've done your whole life. You've gone outside the hedge, you broke the hedge, you've gone, and you've pushed everything. Now, is there any place where you can look that you don't see it's empty and stupid? If there is, go read Ecclesiastes again. Or talk to somebody that's older than you. Oh, no, I'm just looking because I'm a seeker. No, you're just looking because you're a control freak. You want to be your own God. But you have to. You have to look until you can. You don't want to look anymore. But what's sad to me is that now modern religion is teaching you how to look in the name of God and saying that's what you should do. That's how you find God. What you conceive, you can achieve. That's what Jesus wants for you. No, he doesn't. That's a lie. He wants you to come to the end of yourself. Don't just let this one go as just another Bible study or just another thing. Struggle with it. Find out whether you believe it or not. You're gonna. I'm tired of talking. Anybody have anything to say?
Make sure you tell Gary this was the greatest Bible study ever.
I'm working with a bunch of new people that are. There's a lot of political positioning and, you know, image management. I see it now as they're all just shaking the hedges and there's snakes all over them.
Oh, yeah. It's not an option. The snake's going to bite you. The problem is, then these next few verses show how that you have become the snake because of the tail bearing. And, you know, the question will arise here in a minute about the rabbi's asking the snake, why, when you bite just one limb, that the whole body suffers? Why not just, if you bite my toe, why not just have my toe suffer? And the snake's response is, in the same way that when you tail bear here, you kill somebody in Rome. The whole body is suffering because of your tail bearing, your gossip here. But I'm doing it sincerely out of concern. No, you're not. You're the serpent biting. Because that's all serpents do. I mean, it sounds so, especially when you can get an ally. You got something to say and you can get an ally. Boy, you really love that. That's, you have a feeding frenzy. Right?
Bless your little heart.
What?
You can say anything you want about somebody as long as you finish it off with bless your little heart. I learned that in Texas.
You didn't have to learn it in Texas. You were born with it. Take it, big guy. New Jersey for bless your little heart is so, it's so bad that I can't even say it. It's